radioofelia.pt.
Ayo,
estamos aí.
Estamos aí. We começando aqui, temos um programa muito especial hoje, aqui One Off. Portanto, eu vou começar o programa a falar em português, mas eventualmente vou passar depois aqui a palavra para inglês.
Oh, mas já estava a confundir todo.
Exato, mas o nosso convidado também percebe português, portanto é uma cena, vai ser também uma cena interessante. Mas pronto, só para de costume, o meu nome é Dark Sun, comigo tenho Jesus querido.
Como é que é?
Estamos aí. Portanto, Hello. Este programa especial não vai direto para o Spotify, vai direto para o Mixcloud daqui a uns dias. Agora estão a ouvi-lo diretamente aqui, em direto, da Rádio Ofélia, aqui à Almada. Nosso holandês voador, grande Rádio Ofélia. Portanto, hoje, convidado de luxo, diretamente de Londres, uma visita rápida aqui à nossa cidade de Lisboa e depois foi só passar o rio e vir direto para a Almada. So, guys, I bring you,
what up?
What's up, bro? First things first, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
No, it's great because I know that you are on vacations here. Just a few days. I already know it's not only vacation, but also work.
Of course.
But it's a pleasure to have you here for this.
We international now.
We international. Yeah. It's cool.
Suck on that, bitches.
Yeah. And we're going to do a trade-off. So,
yes.
He is here today, you are here today, and tomorrow I'm going to grab the plane and go straight to London. So we'll meet there, we'll meet on the other side. Yeah, on the
we'll
other
meet
side.
In London, take you to the hood.
You know? Yeah, no, that's going to be great. So, first things first, I know that you have some Portuguese heritage, right?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay, so your family is from Portugal, right?
Well, my family's from Saint Tomé.
Okay.
My grandparents, they moved to like England, like in the late 60s, just after my mum was born. And they've been here ever since.
Okay.
They've passed away coming up a decade now.
Uh-huh.
But I was born here in 1990, March 25th, 1990 to be exact.
Yeah.
And I was raised in Portugal, Lisbon, up until the age of 4.
Okay.
And then I got moved to London with my mum.
Okay.
So we've been out there since. So that's why when people are like, why are you speaking English? It's because my Portuguese is terrible. It's not good. I start to stutter or I can't get out.
You get self-conscious.
Yeah, certain words I just can't get out because, you know, it's just the way
the pronunciations
of words, it just gets very, it gets stuck on my tongue. Sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, like
it's funny. I know a lot of Portuguese people. They don't know how to speak Portuguese as well.
You know what? My mom says. Yeah, my mom's one of them. She,
yeah,
sometimes she'd be like that. But you know what? I think it's just mostly because she's living in England as well.
Okay.
And you know, you get used to being around the quote-unquote London culture and you know, you're not speaking Portuguese every day,
of course, so. And and you start, it's not really forgetting, but you grow unaccustomed to it.
Well, you know what, we've been mixing it, we'd be like can you pass the comando, like that. We'd be mixing it all the time, it's very interesting how we grew up. But you know, a lot of people that grew up in like Portuguese that grew up in England, they will understand how that conversation will go with the parents. So
you're going to use a few words from Portuguese and starting to mix it up
all the time, all the time. Like, but you know what? I'll tell you what. Like, because London is quite interesting. It's like a melting pot of different cultures.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, when I first moved to London, the predominant cultures was very much like British culture, in the sense of Cockney culture, and then you had Jamaican culture as well, so a lot of the growing up it was around a lot of Jamaican slang,
yeah.
But I would say going into the 2010s, it started to transition from Jamaican slangs into African slangs. One of the African slangs that got translated into that was Angolan African slang, which is the word bunda.
I know. A lot of my English friends, they use the first time that they that I heard someone use the word bunda, I was like looking at them like, what did
you know what bunda is?
You know what bunda is? And it's crazy.
It's a thing. It's
and it's the same thing. For example, Jamaican West Indies culture is been around London since forever, right?
Since like, not for,
not would, forever,
yeah,
but
you know, they went there during the Windrush, which was during like the late 60s.
Exactly.
And you know, they've been there. They were like one of the first, well, the first, the Caribbeans, and then came the Nigerians on. And like, you know, but the predominant, in terms of black culture in the UK, London specifically is like predominantly like Caribbean, Jamaicans and Grenadians and such.
Okay. So this is why even the slang, at least the slang that we are accustomed by listening to hip hop, drill, something like that, is always that West Indies, like the Jamaican slang. But it's funny because the first, when we were starting telling me about the import of Angolan slang, the first word that came to my mind was bunda. Actually, it was really bunda. It's crazy because when the first time that I heard that. But okay, tell me a little bit about the music journey, the beat making. How does it start? Or how did it start?
Well, I grew up around music.
Okay.
So I would say it started with my grandparents and my uncles. My grandparents were always playing like traditional music from Saint-Tome and Angola, stuff like that. Cape Verde as well, because my grandmother's side. My uncles as well, like they were always playing just various different styles of music, you know, from early Michael Jackson in the 80s. You know, actually, I remember my grandma actually was a big fan of Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
So every time he was playing, his music was playing the TV, I remember her singing along to them, even though she probably wasn't even saying the right words, but she was there doing her thing. And
but she loved the music.
Yeah, she loved it, you know. So it was a lot of music, you know, and my mom, I would say, her influence is probably the biggest out of all of them, because obviously I was raised by her and listening to just so many different styles of music. She was a big, still is a big fan of Julio Iglesias, you know, and Celine Dion. And then she would listen to a lot of Kizomba, Guduru, Zouk music as well, you know. So she was always listening to
So you had that contact as well with traditional Saint-Tome, like the birthplace, and you had that contact with traditional music from there.
From It's just all of that. It just translated, but then, and then you got the fact that I was growing up in London.
You know, so you have all the other stuff,
which is grime, you know, dubstep, you the rap stuff that was happening, and just then you got the American influences and things that was happening. So it's just like you're literally living in a melting pot.
No, it's a very, very rich tapestry. At least music-wise, it's very clear that it's a mixture of everything, especially also the electronic music, like you were telling me regarding grime and eventually dubstep, or if you go way back, like jungle and things like that, especially the MCs, the garage. MC culture, garage, that MC culture on rhyming on different types of beats that you were normally would say that are rap beats or hip hop beats, okay? So this is always that we take from what we take from. I'm also giving you my perspective of being here and listening to UK music.
You know what I also found very interesting about that time as well is like you know, like I'm wearing the shirt right now, Wiley, who's the godfather of grime. And basically, it's quite. I always found interesting was how much grime and you know grime came out like 2000s, right? How much grime and kizomba and from that era, that time, how they were very much similar in the energy and
exactly.
the rawness of the beats, the way the rappers were rapping and grime. They're like, and then you listen to Kizomba and the people that were rapping in Angola and Kuduru.
Yeah.
You listen to Kuduru and you listen how they were rapping in Kuduru.
It's the same with very high energy and high impact always. Proper.
It was like, it was never, so me hearing it from both ways, I was hearing it in English and I was hearing it in Portuguese. You know, so it was very interesting. But yeah, man, that was mostly my musical influences. I got into making beats when I was, I would say, 14 years old.
Okay.
One of my cousins, his cousin had a laptop that had Fruity Loops on it.
Yeah, that's classic.
And, you know, that stereotypical story. And I remember what happened was his cousin wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
So we started playing around on his laptop. We wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
And then, like, I remember making this most basic beat ever. It wasn't even a beat. It was just the drums and claps. And like, and old, traditional grime beats would be like, boom, ch, 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 boom, ch, 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 you know?
The double tempo feeling.
Yeah. So that's traditional grime beats, 140 BPM. And I always knew the tempo of grime because in every grime song, everyone's like, 140 BPM and all that stuff.
Yeah, they're going to tell you.
So they're always telling you all the time in every song. So it's cool, put it 140 BPM. Yeah, that's what it means. Okay, put it that, and then make this thing.
Yeah.
I made the beat and then my cousin's like, oh, you're so great.
Yeah.
I didn't think. But we're kids.
But the act of creation, right?
Yeah.
It's just, okay, I'm just fucking around with it. And okay, there's something there, right?
It was that. Yeah. And I literally... I went back home because I spent the holidays with him, and I went back home. I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I want to be a producer." And then she was like, "No." she said,
"Not even open for discussion."
No, it was a whole thing between her and me for a minute, and I was adamant about it. I was like, "No, this is what I want to do. I want to be a producer. I'm going to make beats." And I got kicked out of school early. Because I was a very bad kid growing up in London. So it was just like, once I got kicked out, you know, I kind of was just like trying to figure out how I was going to do it.
Yeah.
But then I ended up going to do some course in this college. And I started learning how to use like programs like Reason and Logic, which I hated. But I got kicked out of college eventually for plagiarism. And you guys know what plagiarism is?
I got
kicked out for plagiarism. And then... I started sampling after I got myself an MPC 500. Yeah.
What homework did you sampled?
Yeah. sampled an homework.
That was the beginning. There you go. Yeah. That's how it started. Yeah. I plagiarized, you know what I mean? So it's actually, I didn't think about it like that. Yeah. But yeah, it really was that. So I end up getting kicked out, and then I end up buying like an MPC 500. I didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. I thought it was like Reason. You plug into a computer, you can...
It was way different.
Okay, right now. So it was way different that you're used to it using software to make music than to get the machine in front of you. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with this with this 500?
And bear in mind, I wasn't sampling.
Back
then, it was just straight keyboards. Because if you was to sample in London, back in those days, it's like Swiss beat era.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people were laughing.
No, yeah.
It's like, they're like, oh, you don't know how to play the keys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but when I did get into the sampling thing, like I said, it was just MPC 500. I didn't know what to do with it. So I sold it, ended up getting a machine.
Yeah.
It worked better because there was more tutorials at the time online. And then I just kept practicing for like a good couple of years until I end up making this beat called Feel Me.
Okay.
Which is, by then I had got an MPC 1000, by the way.
Okay.
But once I made this beat called Feel Me, which is the first beat you hear on my first beat tape called I Need Money Tape. That's when I was like, this is where I want to, this is my sound. This is where I want to go. And from there on, it was just evolution, just kind of just growing.
You just focused on that and you already somehow found the track that you want, the lane that you want to go through.
Yeah, like, you know, studying so many people, man. Studying DBRC, studying Rash-G, Madlib, Knowledge, Obliv, you know, just Twami. I don't know if you know about Twami. Yeah. Like, this guy's
it's crazy. I mean? Twami is really crazy.
So just studying all these guys, you know, and, you know, pushing myself to the point where, like, you know, I was able to find my own way to do this, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, man. And then we're here, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
That's it. That's it. What are you using right now, as far as equipment wise?
I would say right now my main go-to is the KO2, Teenage Engineering KO2. I love it so much because, like, I know for a lot of people, they look at it and it just looks like a confusing machine. Yeah. But for me, the way I work, like,
The people that were already using the pocket operators and so on, should be more straightforward.
Chopping by ear is so different, but it's just the whole chopping method.
Yeah.
And just the way it sounds, it's similar to like the old MPCs, like the 2000s and such. Yeah. But it just works so much faster, you know, because it's modern.
Of course, yeah.
But it's I use that a lot. And then when I'm on the train on the London Underground, I'm on Koala.
Okay, so Koala. You're Koala guy as well.
Yeah, you know, my partner Aminat, she's here with me. She does my artwork. She did the artwork for Healing, Side B and Osiris Tape, which the copy you guys got there. She'll tell you, like, literally, I'm just literally on the train.
Always,
like,
right?
You know what I mean?
Always.
Like, headphones. Yeah. Like,
I saw a video from...
Great company on the train.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
An awful company. That I was going to say. I saw a video of you when you were coming here to Lisbon on the airplane. Okay, I'm just pushing the Koala, right?
Yeah, that's it. I was playing with Koala and then I was like, okay, I made this beat. And I was like, okay, let me now run Koala into the OP1 and then try and play some basses and stuff like that. By the time, like, I think I started literally from the moment the train went off. No, just before it even went off, I started making beats.
Yeah.
Before it even went. And then I got told to stop.
Okay.
There was a woman sitting in front of me and I was tapping so hard. Yeah, like,
the seat was shaking.
Yeah, man. But eventually I stopped. I think it was like at least an hour and a half. I stopped. The high went. So I was like, all right.
Yeah. So you are on those creative stages when you are constantly plugged in and making stuff.
Like, I'm always, I think it's just because, you know, I got the neurodivergence, ADHD and all that stuff. So I'm just always...
Okay, you know? So that's the thing that helps you remain focused.
Just
so you're
not
grabbing that.
Yeah, I would say it's not focused, it's more like hyper-focused.
Hyper-focused. But a short period of time.
Pardon?
But on a short period of time.
Probably.
What's that?
The hyper-focus. Does it happen for a long time or just short periods?
It happens all the time when I'm interested.
Okay.
If I'm not interested, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. It doesn't happen at all.
You ain't catch.
You know. The guy knows.
Like, you should have seen me when I took the medication one time and I was there all zombied out in Asda. Like, Asda's like Asda. For those that don't know, is literally like a shopping. A supermarket, basically, you know, where it's like all over London, England. You get Asda everywhere, but I can't.
So you were just zombing out.
I can't take the medication; it messed me. So I was like, now I'm embracing it.
And try to use it as a good thing for you. Use it as in your favor.
Yeah,
right? That's cool.
You're gonna need to talk after the show.
Because I didn't know how all that works for a very long time. Because the diagnosis was like even from when I was a child, when I was 9 years old. So it's just like I didn't understand it. My mom didn't understand it.
But I think that this is something that is getting more talked about right now.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of people were wrongfully diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and so on. And not ADHD.
Yeah.
And now I think the diagnosis, at least the methods, are more direct. And you're going to see a lot more cases that are being diagnosed correctly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's the thing. But like I said, for me it wasn't like an adult thing. Yeah. Even though I got re-diagnosed as an adult, but I was always diagnosed from childhood. And like I said, I was always one of those bad kids in school and all that stuff. So I was always, you know.
Yeah.
That explains
a lot for what you are telling me that regarding school, things didn't work out probably.
I never did.
But
things have worked out now, you know, gracefully. Everything is good now. We're in a good space because, like I said, I'm mature, you know, and I have more of a better understanding of where things of myself and the people around me are very supportive as well. So,
So the perspective is way better
Way better,
Okay, so let's talk about the present and the future.
Yes,
what
man.
What are you cooking? We already talked about enough. that you are working or something on a lot of stuff, but please let us know what you can already talk about, because there's some things that are best kept in secrecy, right?
Of course. Obviously, like right now, I started a subscription on my Bandcamp, which is like £3 a month. So in euros, it'd be like €2 and something cents, you know, for like, and you get like the, my entire backlog of music, except two, because two came out on the label. And but other than that, everything is there. And I do a lot of exclusives now. I'm going to be uploading like beat vlogs and stuff like that. I'm going to be talking about records and stuff, like all the records I bought here in Portugal, you know, Tabata Records or Jazz Messenger, you know, all the records I bought there, I'll be talking about them on my Bandcamp and putting videos up. Yeah, man, it's fun. Like I already got, you know, a few subscribers, which is great. And just working on that.
Okay, so that's through your Bandcamp, right?
Through
the subscription mode in Bandcamp, right?
Straight,
Okay, so if the guys are listening, you already know what to do. Just go straight to your Bandcamp and just grab it.
Yeah, okay, man.
So like, it's like small money for the quantity and quality of the things.
By the people, for the people, man. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, because like I see people do it for like £10, and the max I ever will do it for will be £5.
Okay.
You know, but literally, I just, you know, like the discussion we had before we came in, you know, about the cost of living and everything that's happening, you know, like we shouldn't be so greedy about things, you know.
No, so of course,
like, you know, like if what's £3, you know, to someone if they really enjoy the music, you know, and if it's like, you know, over 100 people that enjoy the music and they want to subscribe,
you already have a huge amount, they're
helping me, you know, because you know, I can go buy more records, you know.
Because I think you have a perspective right now that a lot of people just look at music right now as, oh, this is the other side of the coin that you were talking about. A lot of people look at music now right like it's a commodity. You just pay a subscription on Spotify and you're going to have access to everything. And on the other side, you have the guys that, like you're telling me, that they are asking for £10 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's for £3, it's a proper value for, and it feels that you are helping directly the artist and not paying a huge company, a huge corporation, and see it get diluted until it reaches you.
Exactly. Yeah, man. No, it's great. I really appreciate Bandcamp, and the new thing I started doing on Spotify is like me striking against the machine. Now, when I put my music up, only my own independent stuff, nothing that comes out on labels, but my personal independent stuff will all be coming out as one track.
Okay. So. That's really ingenious of you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the way that you rebel against the DSPs, platforms, the DSPs. So you have just one track. The full beat tape is just one track.
One track.
Okay, if you want to listen, you need to go
to my Bandcamp. Yeah, and that's it. And it's like you know, and I feel like if bigger artists were actually doing the same thing. Imagine if Beyonce did it, imagine if Kanye did it or someone and all these other people, and then other artists started getting on board with it, what would happen? The DSPs will have no choice but to listen.
And to do something about it.
And do something about it. But
it's,
you know,
the complicated situation that we got in right now is that, we feel that if you don't have the music there, and it don't exist, because people won't be able to find you. But on the other hand, you're going to get to pay fractions of a cent each time someone plays. And right now, you're going to need to have at least 1,000 plays for you to get paid. So it's crazy. It's crazy. Especially in a small community like ours, that we know that we have tracks that they're not going to have 1,000 plays, because people is probably listening to it through Bandcamp and things like that. Or they're going to download it and listen it on their computers. So does that really make sense?
You know, I'm seeing the value in doing like these beat videos on Instagram and stuff like that. You know, I've noticed that, you know, in some ways it's making people's day as well. You know, like to be able to
This cable is
moving really crazy. You know what I was thinking? Maybe if you hold it from the bottom.
Yeah, I was trying. See if I want to do it like this, like this. Yeah.
We're going for an into the vowel.
It's good.
And you know,
it's
going Portuguese
to be really fast, really fast.
You know Portuguese breaks are like 1 hour long.
No, you know, man, it's crazy. It's getting worse. I think it's getting worse.
Is it?
Yeah. For example, if you're watching Telejornal, like the newscast on the evening, there is a moment that you're going to have like 30 minutes or close to 30 minutes of commercial break.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's always been like that, though.
Yeah, I think it's getting worse. But okay. So regarding the future, what are you working on that you want to tell us about?
Besides
the subscription that you're already...
Besides that, there's an album coming out this September.
Okay.
The first single is coming out. The beginning of last year, 2023, I got the opportunity to go on BBC radio in London. And I went with this DJ called Cascade.
Yeah.
And he has a show called On Air Demo. And on the On Air Demo, what he did, he paired me, a quote-unquote lo-fi producer, with a grime legend, Manga St. Hilaire, who's actually part of Roll Deep with Wiley, who's on the shirt.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Shout out Wiley.
And for the music. And So what happened was I managed to get the track that me and Manga did for the BBC show on this album. So that's coming out next month on Broken Ear Records. Broken Ear Records is run by Keena and my boy Bloops, who are really dope guys. Like, you know, you should check their music out. These guys are very interesting guys, like producer-wise, and just good human beings in general.
Yeah.
So we're doing some stuff over there, and that's coming out. And there's going to be some dope features on there. So... It is what it is. So Jada C is going to be involved in the album, Brain Orchestra and Overcast and Max Millen. And as I mentioned as well, Manga St. Hilaire as well. And potentially there are other rappers. I'm just waiting for them to send their verses back.
Okay, so it's great. So we're going to have a lot of tracks. So we are going to have beats, exclusive tracks, like only instrumental cuts, or you're going to have a lot of MCs that you, a lot of voices there.
It's literally like the album is like 28 tracks long.
Okay.
So you're gonna, it's literally, so
that's what's up.
It's on something like I really wanted to take it to the level where it was gonna be almost like my donuts kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But add rappers, you know,
here and there
for singles, but like it's not a lot of rappers, and the rappers are literally split throughout the album. You don't hear it all in one. It's not cohesive with the rappers.
If you listen to it, you know that it's not a rapper's album, but it's a beatmaker's album that have voices and rappers here and there on different tracks, right?
Very much so.
Okay, so we're going to be waiting for it. So it's September, right?
Yeah, man. September.
So
I'm gonna play you guys the Manga track today.
Okay,
definitely.
Perfect. Okay, so Let's get that beat set going on, right?
All
right,
let's go. So.
Okay, so you're going to have a beat set and around 30, 40 minutes, okay?
Yeah, I got you.
So let's get it. Let's do it.
Let me just put my timer on.
Yeah. It's cool.
Typical beat maker stuff that I always do. Anyways, all right, let's go. All right,
hang on. I need to do something I haven't done today. And you do deserve it. So hang on, let me just take this off. And yeah, just for the opening session. Blessings, brother. Blessings. Blessings.
I'm done.
The job is yours now.
Got to hear God on my side. There ain't nothing else that can do these things. The only thing you put your mind to, you can go get it, man. For real, let's go get this money.
We'll be right back. In the bitch to Uber. Go. I'm in the crock pot.
bad and most fast. Cooking up dope with the O's. My niggas is savage, bro.
Original, yeah, gone in. Kwasi, umamu, check. And the Avex lever, iceberg jeans and a stony sweater. So I was working, putting words together. Couple exes that I worship, but it worked forever. Things happen though, there's lessons that we learnt together. I was sad, but now I'm happy that we worked together. Had big in the box, but I left the square, word to heaven. Too high, I had to calm down, word to Rema. I've been broke in my pros, I thought I'd never ever. Ever, ever, and I mean ever, ever. Ever get up. Now the same ones I've been broke with are the ones that I earned together. Made it out alive from the outskirts, I'll live forever. So when I say I'm one of the greatest, I know that I can hold my head up.
Crazy, I'm one of the greatest, cause you're one of the fakest. No, no.
Turn niggas sideways, rip them like some homework.
Yeah. nicest ever. Hardcore, commercial. What you wanna do? You wanna wild up? You wanna dance? Don't matter to me, I got it all locked down, baby.
Through the darkest tunnel, I got visions for multi-millions in the biggest darkest tunnel. I got visions for multi-millions. Be the apparel through the darkest tunnel. I got visions for multi-millions in the biggest bundle. I got visions for multi-millions in the biggest bundle. We'll be right back.
puppets call me Lil Wayne. And I got a little gang. Hoes full of niggas swag. Come fucking suck me just so they can get they niggas mad. See me, I just sit and laugh. You the one that wife that you getting the intriguing. I see I'm the one that pipes that. Soon as I finish with it, you can have a right back. If I get a piece of pie, my man got the slice that. Break down, take down. Shorty, keep your mouth shut. This is what we do. 102, you ain't about that? I don't give a fuck. I leave you stuck like a mouse trap. Middle of the city, tell your brother to get with me. I be stomping with a 50. Collar with a holler, then I can jump out his dick and we be riding with the solid. Ain't nobody saying me the whole hood of the grip. I'm wiping niggas out. They like what I'm about. Every time I'm killing it, the whole hood feeling it. I got the first one. Right now I'm on the south. Dealing with them killer niggas. Shite and gorilla niggas. Fuck it, don't be out. Talking with these bow. Nigga making threats. It's a bad idea. My bloodhound barking at his house.
I'm just trying to find my way up out this fucking kitchen. A bird's eye view got me channeling my vision. Tell you, like, Malice found religion. Tony found prison. I'm just trying to find my way up out this fucking kitchen. A bird's eye view got me channeling my vision. Turn one to two, now the kilo's got a sibling. Father knows best, watch my hands all forgiven. Kicking up dust like the Coliseum floors. Walls full of safes like the mausoleum doors. Pussy getting wet like she walking through my morgue. Grants, Jackson's, no room for George.
If you have ever fucked me over, ever at all, at any point, I'm casting a spell on you today. I don't give a fuck what happens. I don't care. We're in it for the long haul. Going hard. Shouldn't have done it. Telling your fucking ancestors.
Young renegade, yo body, what up body?
I'm out here, man, take him back. 99, I gotta shake it in front of Skate Key. You wasn't with,
bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang. We out here,
yo,
Davidson, that for the road.
Oh,
we out
here, wow, take this.
Yo, spend your advance on one trip to Six Flags with a handicap class with your candy rap ass. Bitch, you singing like Frankie Lyman. Fuck around, you might break your hymen. Then somebody's gonna have to clean the mess up. Like you fucking spill ketchup. Fucking flawless from the neck up. If you want it, better step up. You don't wanna feel that blah, that, that, that. Come through the fucking ball court with salt and pepper. Hold on. Hold the fuck on. Fuck that. Yo, listen. Yo. If I die, change my suit 4 times at the wake.
Started from nothing, but he got this strong. Threw the rock from a pebble, pedal rock before I met you. Pedal bikes, got my nephews pedal bikes because they special. Let you tell it, man, I'm throwing them well. Somebody must have caught them, because every fourth quarter, I like the mic jogging them. Number one albums, what I got like four of them. More of them on the way, the eighth wonder on the way. Clear the way, I'm here to stay. Y'all can say, picture the this and that, listen, JJJ, you made spitting them lyrics, niggas get very religious. Six Hail Marys, please, Father, forgive us. Young, the Archbishop, the Pope, John Paul, and y'all niggas, the way y'all all follow Jigga. Hope's a living legend, and I tell you why. Everybody wanna be Hov, and Hov's still alive.
Yeah.
Tivemos aqui Ewe, diretamente de Londres, a representar aqui connosco. Ewe, it was a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for this, man.
Blessings, bro. Blessings.
Thank you so much for this. And just to let you know, you're welcome to come back to the radio anytime that you come back to Lisbon.
Thank you so much, let me know. Man, I'm here, man. I love this place, man. This looks like a, I don't know, like an underground beat maker bunker or something. You know what I mean? Like, it just looks like
it's the cave, man.
Yeah, if you was gonna, like, you know, hide during the apocalypse anywhere,
yeah, it
would be here 100%. Like, it's just
for
it's,
sure,
I love
for
this
sure.
place, man. Yeah. Honestly, I wasn't expecting this.
Okay, man.
I wasn't expecting what.
It's great to hear that.
I walked in and I was just like, what is this place? Like,
it's crazy.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of I know it's gonna sound weird, but it reminds me of Beetlejuice, man.
Okay, yeah.
It reminds me of that, but it's like a Beetlejuice meets Big. You know Tom Hanks Big?
Yeah.
It's like a cross between those two worlds.
Okay,
like,
that's crazy, man. Yeah, that's two crazy references, really.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
They're really dope movies, but it's just like, even like, I remember watching those movies growing up and I was like, yo, the way these things look, imagine like living in something like that.
Just oppose the two, the references and so on.
Come on. Yeah, man.
Okay, so thank you a lot, man.
Big ups tape delay, man. Big ups tape all day long.
Okay, so we're going to check your album on September. Okay?
Yeah, September, Mighty Healthy. The first single, is coming out May 24th on Broken Ear Records. So tap in, follow me on Instagram. That's Ewe, Ehwee. You know, if you, you know, if you want to support the music, subscribe to the Bandcamp. You literally get the whole back catalogue. And you also get exclusive beat tapes and remixes as well. You know, like all the remixes you would hear on my Instagram, you can get them for free. Well, not free, but, you know, subscription.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Bandcamp, you know
with,
what I mean?
With a very low cost price attached,
man,
to it. So
£3, yeah, man. £3, that's €2, €2.70, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's low, you know what I mean? So, yeah,
that's
man.
That's it. That's
big
it,
ups.
Man.
Big ups,
okay,
everyone.
So thank you for coming. Okay, it was a pleasure having
much
you.
Much love, bro.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and then Tape Delay vai voltar ainda no mês de maio, dia 9, em direto, segunda quinta-feira do mês, em direto aqui da Rádio Ofélia. Já sabem, o meu nome é Dark Sun, comigo tenho Jesus querido.
Yo, família.
We got it. Até dia 9. Peace.
Blessings. I love you, London.
Just imagine this.
Yo.
Type delay.
Type delay.
Type delay.
Type delay.